Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What are some of the challenges to mental health services for children in Iowa? Let's go in depth with Cheryl Garland with Integrative Counseling Solutions.
Cheryl, how are our kids doing?
Well, Bob, to tell you the truth, I'm concerned. I'm concerned because of what I see every day with students that are seeing our professionals. And we serve 10 school districts for school-based mental health, so we see a lot of kids at our agency day in, day out. I'm also concerned with what we're hearing from the Iowa Youth Survey that just came out. And the Iowa Youth Survey has been surveying students since 2012, and they've come out with some numbers which frankly I think are alarming. For sixth graders, they measured the percentage of students who report that they had a plan to kill themselves within the past 12 months. And in 2012, that number looked like 3.8% for sixth graders. In 2018, it was 6.5%. It almost doubled. When they measured eighth graders who report they had a plan to have killed themselves in the last 12 months, in 2012, that was 7.9%. 2018, it was 11.5%. When they talked to 11th graders, 8.1% had a plan to kill themselves in 2012, and in 2018 it was 12.9%. And all grades totaled, that number went from 6.6% in 2012 to 10.1% in 2018. So 10% of our youth in Iowa had a plan to kill themselves in 2018.
That's tragic. It's so sad to hear.
It's an unbelievable number. It has been an overall increase of 53% between 2012 and 2018. So frankly, I'm alarmed. So the question becomes, what are we going to do about it? And one more statistic before I go into what we can do about it. 11th grade males were at 6.3% in 2012, and that jumped to 10%. Females were at 10% already in 2012. And today, 15.8% of our 11th grade females had a plan to kill themselves.
Do we know why? What are the forces making this increase happen?
Well, you know, we haven't done a survey on that exactly. I can say, as a licensed therapist and as a clinical director, the kinds of things that I hear are breakdown of the family, exposure to either the adults in their lives doing drugs or alcoholism or their own use. And social media is, I think, a big factor in all of this. Bullying on social media, comparing oneself to other people on social media, feeling that we don't measure up, that everybody has a better life than we had, looking at ourselves through, you know, what other people present, which is not necessarily the truth, but what they show on social media. If we compare ourselves to that, even as adults, that can be unsettling. All people want to show you is their vacation pictures. It makes you feel like, you know, everybody has a better life than you do. It may not be true, but it feels that way sometimes. And so kids are struggling with all of that, and they don't have the maturity to deal with it. And they're on social media more, and we know that students who are on social media the most are the most depressed. So there is a correlation.
Really?
So there's correlation. Correlation doesn't always mean causation, so I can't say that is absolutely the reason, but it certainly looks like the more students are on social media, the more they're spending screen time and less face-to-face time, the worse it is for them in terms of their depression measurements.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about mental health services for children with Cheryl Garland with Integrative Counseling Solutions.
Well, what can be done about it?
Well, thankfully, I have some good news, and that is that we do have, for the first time, We have a children's mental health bill that was passed on March 21st. It is a good start. This is the third attempt of our state creating a children's mental health system. It's kind of ridiculous that we don't have a children's mental health system, but now we have a bill and it has passed the House. However, there's no funding associated with it, so there's still a long ways to go before we're actually able to put some money where our mouth is when it comes to children's mental health. And so I'm encouraged, but I know that there are several legislators that do have concerns. I want to encourage people to reach out to their legislators and talk to them about the importance of children's mental health and the importance of having funding for children's mental health and the importance of having more professionals available to provide services to children. The bills in question are SSB, that's Senate Study Bill 1197, and HSB, House Study Bill 206. Also very important is Senate File 167, which is a loan repayment program that will now include counselors, where it did not in the past. We've had student loan reimbursement for certain professionals like voc rehab counselors, but interestingly enough, the same counselors that go to school with those voc rehab counselors but choose to focus on mental health have not had an opportunity to have their master's student loans paid back. And that discourages people from going into the field. Coming out of school with a lot of debt is kind of scary. And especially because this is not a highly reimbursed field, it is difficult to get people to choose to go into mental health when they have big student loans coming out of school and they don't get reimbursed very much. So talk to your senators and your congressmen about that, because that is what's going to encourage people to come to your town and provide mental health services for your child or yourself or your family members. Also important is House File 666, which is a bill to evaluate all professional licenses. This bill proposes that every 2 years we look at a third of the licenses for professions in our field, in our state, and determine whether we should continue to have those people be licensed. They're looking at having smaller government and saving money, which, you know, I'm all for saving money, but at the same time, would you want your child to see a therapist that was not regulated by a government board, that didn't have the requirement to have had a master's degree, that wasn't getting appropriate supervision? Those are all the things that our agency provides our staff, and I know how incredibly important that is to developing mental health professionals that can serve and provide evidence-based care and trauma-informed care to the people in Knoxville and our surrounding towns. It's so important.
Well, you just don't want anybody hanging out their shingle and saying, I'm a counselor.
Exactly.
And so they're deregulating that?
They're talking about whether it could be considered a certification instead of a license. And for those that don't know, it would not necessarily require having a master's degree and would not necessarily require having supervision. And the government regulation of it is also important. So if somebody does something wrong, that there's a body that you can go to and complain to. And that would, you know, try to keep people operating the way they should be, ethically and morally, and providing quality care to the people that you care about.
Well, I've read a lot and heard a lot about the children's mental health bills, but I'd never, or maybe I didn't get dig into it deep enough. You're the first person to tell me that it's unfunded. It sounds great when I hear it superficially, but if it's unfunded, that doesn't do anybody any good.
Right, that can make it an unfunded mandate. So the counties, they're looking at piggybacking the children's mental health system on the adult mental health system, which is regionalized. So counties have banded together in mental health regions, and the funding comes from your property tax dollars. So those dollars come into the region, and the region then in turn spends them on people who maybe don't qualify for Medicaid services but still need help. If they make under 138% of the federal poverty level, they may qualify to get help from the regions. And in Knoxville, we're part of the Cross region, which is now housed at Marion County Public Health. So it used to be in Decatur County. It's kind of nice for us now that it is in Marion County. And so if somebody makes too much for Medicaid but makes under 138% of the federal poverty level, they can go to the county health department and look for some assistance. And now children would be included in that, where they were not necessarily included before. However, that's going to require more money, and nobody knows yet where that money's coming from. So the Iowa Association of Counties and others are concerned and are talking to the legislators about well, great, you know, you want us to do more work, but we need more money to do that work.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about mental health services for children with Cheryl Garland with Integrative Counseling Solutions.
Well, and you mentioned Knoxville. This interview is actually taking place in Indianola. This is important for everybody.
Yes, absolutely. We're currently serving in 7 counties, and we have offices in West Des Moines and in Knoxville, but our team of traveling therapists go to 10 school districts in 7 counties, and we are advocating for all of the areas that we work with to have appropriate mental health services so that people don't have to stay on a wait list and can get the help they need when they need it, where they need it. So we're all about meeting people where they're at, giving them what they need, and seeing them where they want to be seen.
Are there enough mental health professionals in the state to do that?
No, unfortunately. If I could wave my magic wand and put school-based mental health in every single school district in our state, that would go a long ways to creating a children's mental health system. Of course, it wouldn't address psychiatry, nor would it address hospital beds, which we're always having a shortage of both of those areas, but it would go a long ways to getting master's level professionals in schools to see children during the day when their parents are working, and it's often difficult for parents to get off of work and bring their children to be seen. But the problem is, there aren't enough therapists to meet that need. If we were to put school-based mental health in every school district, we would be way short on therapists. There just aren't enough.
And so how do we fix that problem?
Good question. The barriers that I see are the rates aren't high enough so that limits the reimbursement that those therapists can receive. There hasn't been a raise in Medicaid rates in over 5 years, for example, and a good number of the people that we see do have Medicaid. There's a barrier in training in that graduate school programs do not train therapists to work with children. We have started a Play Therapy Training Institute at Integrative Counseling to address that need. We are training not only our own professionals, but have opened it up to other Central Iowa professionals that want to be trained in evidence-based treatment models for treating children. There's a barrier in transportation, in the cost to get to these rural areas. It would be very helpful if there was mileage reimbursement. We get the same amount of money whether we see somebody right where our office is or 50 miles away. It's no different. So there needs to be something done about that. And then licensure portability issues and supervision issues, which, you know, I'm really getting into the weeds here. But if somebody comes from out of state and wants to be a therapist in Iowa, it's not easy. Folks, our licensure boards are pretty tough. And of course, we want them to have standards. But there have been people that wanted to come to work here that just could not get past our licensure board. And they were licensed in other states for 30 years and couldn't get licensed in Iowa, which is a shame. Good people that are well-trained and want to serve have had difficulty working in Iowa, and that makes it difficult. And then there's some particular issues with the social work board not allowing other licensed professionals. Licensed mental health counselors, licensed marriage family therapists are prevented from providing supervision towards licensure to social workers. So that's a really fine detail, but those are some of the barriers that I see.
What else would you like our listeners to know today?
If you see somebody that's struggling, reach out to them, offer to help them get in touch with a crisis line or help them get in touch with an agency that provides outpatient mental health services, or if need be, take them to the emergency room if they are having thoughts of self-harm. Simply being with them, your presence can be helpful. And then looking at what are the next steps. If it's a student in a school, getting them to the school guidance counselor so that they can make an appropriate referral. If there's a nurse nearby, if you can't get to an emergency room, call up your local mental health center and see if they can get them in for an emergency visit face-to-face. There's also video telecounseling. Sometimes we have to use, we're in rural areas and there aren't enough professionals available. Sometimes we use video telecounseling to reach people. Whatever we need to do to get that person in to see a professional so that they get the help that they need.
Thanks to Cheryl Garland for contributing to the program.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at kniakrls.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIA KRLS by sending an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIA KRLS.